Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thank you for your word. We thank you. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it cuts between the spirit and flesh, and it makes us and transforms us more into your image as we apply it. And so, Jesus, I ask today, would you come and speak through your word? Open our ears to hear and open our eyes to see what you would have to say to us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Well, we are in part two of our Spirit-led series. And part two is made up of the first part of three parts of the whole series. Are you confused yet? No. Thomas said there's 9 weeks and there are literally three parts of a series. And we look at this from a perspective of the Spirit-led life. In this, what does it look like in the upward relationship with the Lord and having a Spirit-led life? It comes from the fact that the Father gave us the Son, Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit, we have access and relationship and connection with Him. And that communion with Him is how we live a Spirit-led life. And today I want to talk to you about this upward calling that we find ourselves in. The beautiful component of Scripture reveals to us that the Father is in the Son and that the Son is in the Father. And as a result, that connection that Jesus had with the Father is something that you and I can have today. And it's not this, idea that we just, you know, we sing those songs, you know, let it rain, let it rain. We're not going to go there again. It's a long, long day with songs of leaning into the Holy Spirit. But can I just help us connect with this? I think sometimes we need to sing more of those songs to ourselves to remind ourselves that He's actually present within us. I love it. We sang earlier in our team gathering before our service as we prayed for the service today, and we sang the old school song, you know, come Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Do you remember it? It's those moments of being aware of like, come Holy Spirit, but He came. Yeah. And sometimes we've got to sing it to ourselves enough and maybe 100 times over just actually to be reminded that He dwells within us. Yeah. I was reading through the Scriptures and I love it. Thomas set this up so beautifully last week around the idea that, you know, the Holy Spirit has come as a helper. He's come as a guide. And we read in John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. And the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells in with you and He will be in you. He'll not leave you as orphans, but He'll come to you. And this idea of the abiding presence of God comes because you know Him. To know Him is eternity. To know Him is to love Him and to grow in relationship with Him. And as a result, He dwells within us and He conforms us and transforms us into the very image of Jesus. Who's grateful for that? Have you ever tried to be a Christian on your own? Some days I feel like I fail. Some days I feel like, oh man, that wasn't very Christian. Have you ever had that thought? Oh Lord. But I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. Because He is the one who comes and He speaks from this place of abiding. What does it mean to abide? What does it mean for Him to abide in us? We understand it means that it's a place in which He dwells and He remains, but it's this idea of Him being present and us being present with Him. Have you ever had a moment where you're having a conversation with someone and you can see the lights are on and no one's home? Yeah? That moment where you're like, I'm talking, but it's going through to the keeper on the other side. I'm getting a lot of feedback here if we can. And the idea that when we're standing there having a conversation with somebody, the importance of being present in that conversation is so important. And I often find that the Lord actually wants us to be more present with the Holy Spirit than sometimes we're aware of. It's one thing to walk into a service and become completely aware of his presence in a moment like that where you can feel like heaven opens up, and more often than it's not, it's because you've actually taken the time to separate you from what has distracted you from the way here, what's distracting you in the service, and actually becoming just aware of his presence, being like, oh, that's right. I can feel him. And he is this beautiful, personal, wise gift from God to each and every single one of us. Again, Thomas unpacked the life of Jesus with the disciples and the impact that that had on them and the idea that they were going to lose Jesus. And Jesus was like, you're going to gain the Holy Spirit. And you know, the disciples, they all gathered together and they'd fight over like who was going to be queen, king, like not queen because ladies didn't fight. They were great, but like, yeah. But the men were fighting over positions and powers and things like that, right? And as this idea of, well, I'm closer to Jesus, and John, you know, John's the beloved, he's the one closest to Jesus' heart, and Thomas is the one that denied him, and Peter's the one who's got a big mouth, and I find myself a bit more like Peter than most days, and I realize maybe more than I like. But there's this idea that they wanted to be the closest to Jesus that they could be. But the beautiful thing is that the Holy Spirit is the equalizer. He's the greatest equalizer because he is personalized to each and every single one of us today. And we have this kingdom culture value here that his presence is our priority, and that doesn't mean that we just spend an hour in worship. That actually means that we ask ourselves this question as followers of Jesus: am I growing in an awareness of his presence? Not just in a service, but in my everyday life. I love this idea that when Jesus said to his disciples, you know him, he dwells within you and he will live in you. It's this picture. Later in verse 23, Jesus says, we will come and make our home with him. Who knows that things that happen at home are more intimate than things that happen in public? Things that happen at home don't necessarily need to be known in the public square. This idea that he would come and make his home with us is this personal, intimate connection with the Father. It's God and Christ by their own power and spirit exerting in us this blessed influence in our soul as believers. It's not a doctrine to believe, like Thomas just said. Understanding the doctrine, believing it, it causes us to follow it, but it is actually a life to be lived with the Holy Spirit. He's not an occasional guest, but he's a permanent resident. And the question we have to ask ourselves in this is, what does delighting in the Lord's presence look like for me? What does it look like for me to take the ordinary, everyday breathing moments, not just the spiritual ones? See, it's about doing life with the very presence of him, the Holy Spirit, living in and through you and I. He's a person, and he's closer than the air you breathe. Remember in John 19, Jesus says to the Holy Spirit after he's been resurrected, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. You remember when God created Adam in the garden in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, he breathed life into Adam. And then in Ezekiel, there's this moment where there's a valley of dry bones and he says, prophesy and allow the winds from each corner to come and blow, and literally it breathes life into that which is dead. You know, we sing the song, this is the air I breathe. Ah. Just breathe in. Breathe out. He's closer than the air that you breathe. It's closer than the air that we breathe. The question for me I have to ask myself is, am I learning to notice God in the ordinary moments of my everyday breathing life? Because the life of following Jesus is a life of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You know, I said before, you know, being in a home and a house is some things that don't need to be in a public square and some things that are left to the private place because it's an intimate space. And I have a housemate who just returned home from Mozambique last week, and I've had the house for 8 weeks on my own. And thank you to those who prayed for me. My dog survived, her dog survived, and I'm still here to tell the story. There may be things that you don't need to know that happened in that house that were like, ask Pastor Liz later, she can tell you. But there are things that I now realize that intimacy in a context of people in a living dwelling place means that they see things in you that not necessarily everybody else sees in a public forum. You know, those moments is like, I had the house to myself. The place was great. It was amazing. You know, I'm actually okay with my own company. I've come to realize this. I like my own company. I like my own space. And I'm getting like little ones like this from the young adults. If you don't know what that means, that's our young adults giving us a clap. I'm like, yes, come on. It's a little quieter version. But you know, I was home and she came back and all of a sudden I realized there's parts of my life that she sees that no one else sees. The word intimacy is like, into me you see. Into me you see. I'm a routine person. I like to keep the house tidy. I like to keep the kitchen bench tidy. Literally, kid you not, she's not here this morning, but I do have permission to share this story. Last night, I had people come over for dinner. Pastor Blessy, the kids, loved it, awesome. And literally, I was like folding up the washing. And I was like, I'm not going to put it on the table, because we're about to have dinner with friends. And so she was busy doing homework, and so I took it and I put it on her bed. I placed it on her bed. What? I kid you not, she goes to bed at 10:30 last night. And she's like, could you please not, like, just not put my clothes on the bed? Could you just leave them on the table so that I can collect them and put them away when I'm ready? And I was like, yep. Pretty sure we had a conversation before that to say that you wanted me to put it on your bed because we had guests coming. She goes, I don't remember that. And I'm like, okay. You know what gets triggered in those moments? Fruits of the Spirit. I kid you not. Like, we overcomplicate this idea of come Holy Spirit to a spiritual moment, but yet it is in the everyday walking and talking with Jesus and living with people that we actually work out how much of the Holy Spirit has of us. Because it's not about come, I want more of you. It's come, I'm surrendered to you. And this idea of surrender looks really different. You know, the beautiful nature of what Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit's role is found over in the next chapter. Flick over with me to John chapter 16, verses 5 through to 11. Jesus says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you that it's to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, and of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I love this passage of Scripture because it reminds me that what Jesus did, our need for a Savior because of sin, means that Jesus is the standard of righteousness. It reminds me that Satan is defeated. And therefore, I have accountability before my God on how I live, how I act, and how I have my being. The goal of this conviction of the Holy Spirit is to conform us more into His image. It's this greater level of intimacy and surrender to Him. Huh. It's all good till it's tested. We can be yes, amen. But when it's tested, I'm like, oh, how do we navigate this journey? Friends, it's with the Holy Spirit. It's this upward calling. It's this God. He wants to be so close to you, but more often than not, we put him in our back pocket after Sunday service, get on with our week, and maybe spend a little bit of a devotion in the Bible, read it with my coffee. I don't drink coffee, but you drink coffee maybe, I don't know. But you sit with the Lord and that's where it finishes and starts. But the Lord is wanting to be closer than the air we breathe. And if you hold your breath for too long, you pass out because you're made to breathe in and out. And the Holy Spirit wants to do a work in you and He wants to do a work through you. He wants to do a work in you. He wants to do a work through you. And this conforming of what it is to follow Jesus that takes place in us is woven through the beautiful tapestry of the Holy Spirit. This idea of intimacy with Him is not try harder. It's not be better. It's actually yield. It's actually surrender. When you think you're right, when you know you're right and someone else is wrong, it's not about push harder, try harder to get your opinion across the line, but actually yield and surrender. It's a beautiful thing that the Holy Spirit does in us, and this conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment is only to create a greater intimacy within us and to conform us into this image of the Holy Spirit, I mean, the image of Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicts the unsaved. We know this. We know that when conviction falls upon a man or a woman, they can literally hear something and it doesn't even sound in some form of make sense, but there's a conviction that happens on the inside of them and they respond. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, that chapter 12, verse 3, that literally that cannot happen without the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts man of sin and righteousness and judgment. But for the saved, it is this beautiful picture of walking with Him that makes us more aware of righteousness and our sin. And I love it because Hebrews 12, 6 tells us that God loves us and He disciplines us because He loves us. And there's this moment that we know and understand as believers where we are transformed into His image, which is this word sanctification. Your sanctification takes place and it's about becoming more like Jesus. And I'm grateful for scriptures like Romans 8, verse 1, where it says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Friend, if you believe in Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, it doesn't matter how many mistakes you made, you need to know that you are not condemned. You are not the product of your sin. You are the product of the blood of Jesus that purchased your life and covered you and took away your sin. And this is who He is, and we have no need for fear of condemnation because condemnation leads to shame, and it is not the idea of God to condemn you. It is to actually free you. It is not to pull you into a place of despair as, woe is me, I'm not good enough, I'll never be enough, because that's what the enemy does. He likes to get up in your head, oh, you messed up, you failed, oh, you missed that moment. He loves to get into those spaces and try to make you feel that you are less than. But I can tell you this, that Jesus will never attack your identity as a child of God. He'll never tell you that you are not good enough. He'll never tell you. Now that Jesus has paid the price, you are made right, not because of what you do, but because of what He does. The moment you make it about your works, it totally goes into the flow of the enemy and to separate you from God. And he pulls you away slowly, bit by bit, with this idea of despair. And falling in under this shame. Friend, that's not who God is. That's not what the role of the Holy Spirit does. The role of the Holy Spirit brings hope and it brings freedom. I love this. I'm going to get a couple of friends to come help me. I won't get Jess because she's on one leg. Jeremiah, Audrey, Christian, if you can come say help me out, that'll be great. They have no idea why I preempted this maybe earlier before the service had started. I wasn't sure if I was going to do it, but we're going to do it. Christian, can you grab me those three signs down the bottom? Here we go. If you can come up on the platform, so just so everyone else can see you. I want you to grab one of these signs each, and I'm going to help people understand what this looks like. So we're going to start on the other side. Flip. Yep, flip. Yep, that's it. All right. I've done this illustration before. Some of you will be aware of it and familiar with it, but it's going to help you in understanding how to live according to the Spirit and the idea of what sanctification does within the life of a believer. Now, when you are a non-believer, when you don't know Jesus, your spirit man is dead. Literally, the Bible says that Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, that they would eat, if they ate of the fruit, they would die. Do you remember that? They didn't die physically, they died spiritually. And so if you could just sit for a second, just duck maybe, yep, that's it. And so this part of you is dead, but when you come to life in Christ, the spirit man rises up in connection with the Holy Spirit. It rises up and you have this other part of who you are, which is your soul. Because we are tripart beings, right? We are made up of a body that moves and functions and has its being, but we have a soul. Our soul realm is where our mind and our will and our emotions are found. And more often than not, this is where all of the sin flesh desires ruminate and want to dictate to the body what it shall do. But it is the spirit man that when it comes to life, comes in and says, I want to change this up. I want you to live by the Spirit. Live and be led by the Spirit. So when you are saved and you say yes to Jesus, flip it over, you become justified. You are justified as you are, not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus has done. Then your soul goes through this process of sanctification. You are sanctified because of what He has done. And then one day, you and I will be in our bodies glorified and taken to heaven. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, this is what is key. Because what I find is most believers try to stay here. Flip it back the other way. They want to live with their soul realm, their mind, their will, and their emotions. Someone cut me off. I gave them the bird. Da-da-da-da. They did this. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we try to find ourselves justifying what we're doing because of how we feel, how we think. And in our emotions, we live according to our flesh. But what the Lord is actually looking to do is to bridge this by saying, you know what? I want you to come in and I want you to stand between here. Because this spirit man has been justified and lives rightly. But it's the spirit man, if you flip it over, the spirit man that actually now is the separator between our mind, our will, and our emotions. Or should I say the bridge, maybe not the separator, but the bridge between our mind, our will, and our emotions and the body. So when we're out walking our spirit-led Christian life, I want to cut that person off because they did X, Y, Z. I want to tell that person what I really think because they did X, Y, Z. I want to tell my husband what I really think when he leaves his towel on the floor. I want to tell my wife that I don't like that piece of cooking. Just take it real, make it as relatable to you as possible. But what happens when you are a follower of Jesus, you have the spirit man living within you. And he teaches you how to live according to the Spirit so that by the time you walk through your body, there is a disconnect between what you wanted to do in your soul realm and there's a connect with heaven around the spirit realm that wants to lead you to freedom in your body in the here and now. And this is what he does. There is no condemnation for anyone who is in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Amen. So even sometimes when the soul is like bopping this guy on the head and being like, I'm going to do what I want and works it out this way, the Lord is kind. It says the kindness of the Lord leads to repentance. I love it because when you are saved and your spirit man comes to life, oh my gosh, everything changes. Because you are justified. You are saved by the blood of Jesus. And through the process of living this life, not according to the soul, this is where you find deliverance. This is where you find deliverance when you can't get beyond yourself. You find deliverance that takes place in the soul and then you eventually work out to a place of healing and wholeness. Not because of what you did, but because of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Yeah. and has done in and through your life. Friends, I hope that this helps you to connect with this idea that we are called to live a Spirit-led life. And this upward calling is not about singing longer worship songs, going longer on Sunday services, but it's the everyday connection to God through this process of living a Spirit-led life. Can you thank these guys as they take their seats? Thank you so much. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus relates to us in our weakness. I share a story this week. I had a moment where I went to a meeting with a couple of pastors actually, and I was just sharing with them a little bit about my journey and my story and about where I'd come from and what the Lord had done. And so I went way back into, hey, I just never wanted to be in ministry. I never signed up for this thing. I never wanted to be a pastor, just so you all know. I never wanted to be a pastor. And I never wanted to be an evangelist, actually. I just wanted people to know Jesus and to find him and discover life with him. And I was sharing this with the couple. And as I was sharing it, I reflected on the fact that I, you know, never wanted to be in ministry. I was just running outreach events and running place things that people can get saved in. And outreaches at high schools, down at a skate park, cooking barbecues, giving out pancakes, busing kids to youth ministry, doing whatever I could to reach people. And in that, I said, and at the time I was in architecture and I moved along the line and I got to a point where I got to speak about, you know, 12 years ago, I started a master's in leadership and Christian leadership and I was really enjoying that and just discovery. And they just made this comment to me, wow, you're really smart, architecture and master's in Christian leadership. And at that point, I just said, oh, look, let me tell you this. I started a master's in Christian leadership, but after year one, I went, I'm done because I looked at year two and you know what it was all about? Board and governance. And I went, I'm out. I am out. The Lord saw in his entertaining nature and humor that I would learn in a different way. But the kindness of the Lord was I was able in this moment just to be able to say, look, that's what happened. I didn't finish it. I finished year one and settled with that. And I've contemplated going back until I saw the prices of what the subjects were. And I was like, well, not sure if I can justify that. And I was like, Anyway, they had a laugh, but I walked away. And the next morning I woke up. And it was a great conversation with this couple, beautiful couple, just loved on me, cared for me, and just prayed for me. And it was just beautiful. And the next morning I woke up, and I woke up with this feeling in my gut and this Holy Spirit prompting. And it was this. You allowed them to think that you were smarter than you are. I was like, what? And the Lord's like, by not telling them that when you said architecture, that you were in architectural drafting and design, you enabled them to think that you're smarter than you are. And I was like, oh. You know when conviction hits, it hits different. Now you might be sitting here going, "That you're convicted over that? Really? Sin is sin. There's no measure of good sin, bad sin, better sin, badder. Really good English. But there's no distinction. Sin is sin. And my grammatical friend down the front here is worse. Yes, that's right. But I sat and I was like, oh my gosh. And you know when the conviction of the Holy Spirit sits, you've got options. You either allow it to take you into a place of shame, you're a terrible person, you did the wrong thing, you should know better, you're a pastor, da 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 da. That was the thing going on in my head. And I was like, Lord, forgive me, I've offended you. And I was like, what do I do now? And there was this moment where I was like, Holy Spirit, thank you for telling me, but now what? And it's not just for me to become aware of it so I can become a better person, right? It's actually about a three-step process, which is repentance, confession, and restoration. And this is what the Lord does through this sanctification process in our lives. I'm just trying to be as real as I can with you guys. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's good.
I'm actually going to read to you the message that I sent this wonderful couple. Oh, Lord. There's a vulnerability hangover tomorrow, I can tell you. You got to be obedient, right? That's all that actually matters, is obedience to the Lord. Where is it? I'm having a hard time. This is awesome. Maybe this is the Lord. I said to them, hey, thanks for your time yesterday. So appreciate you reaching out, taking time. And just said to them, hey, I also wanted to say, I woke up this morning with the conviction of the Holy Spirit around something from yesterday when I spoke of my history in architecture. I didn't actually clarify that I worked in architectural design and drafting for 2 years before ministry. And I studied for 2 years, but I actually didn't finish up in architecture. Couldn't see my life going on any further or drawing lines and fun things, just so you know. And I said, I studied for 2 years but didn't finish, so I'm not as smart as you might think. I apologise if I led you to thinking that I was smarter. Love and appreciate you both. And you know what happened? The enemy wants to bring you to a place of shame and despair. You're a terrible person. You are what you did. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you to a place of awareness of, hey, that's a sin and it offends me. But I actually have grace and mercy. Read this with me, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. He says, seeing then we have such a great high priest who has passed through heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession of who he is and what he's done. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are. You need to underline that in your Bible. Yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly into the throne room of judgment. Is that what your Bible says? No. It says grace, that we may obtain lightning bolts, smacks over the head. No, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to destroy you, separate you. No, it says that you obtain grace and mercy in your time of need. Oh, I got to tell you today, friends, the Holy Spirit is more than a force. He's a person. He is more than a presence in a room where there's great worship and atmospherical moments that create awareness of who he is. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the purpose of it is that we can walk and talk with him. I was listening to some old hymns this week. Just a closer walk with Jesus. Oh, friends, care for nothing more than that you know him. You can't do anything to separate yourself from the love of God. He dwells within you. He is a permanent resident. You can't be like, I just left Jesus at home. I went out and I was doing that. No. He dwells within you. And sometimes we just need a greater awareness of his presence. I haven't got time to unpack it today, but John 16 goes on to talk about it further and talks about the fact that he says he will guide you. He will speak to you, he will tell you, and he will actually glorify Jesus through your life. Your life. Jesus is glorified through your life, through your living, through your being. And the question for us today is, how is my awareness of who he is and his presence in my life changing the way that I live? Changing the way that I live this week. I asked the team to come back and I have sat with this and sat with the Lord, and I grew up as a kid in church on Sundays. We'd sit, you know, on the Sunday night service under the pew with our blankets. And I just remember just hearing all of the songs and worship and, you know, and I feel like some of those songs are starting to make a return, which makes me feel, number one, old. But it just reminds me again of this beautiful, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. He leads us. He guides us. He speaks to us, and he glorifies Jesus through us. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit usually works upon one thing: our obedience and our yieldedness to him. You're like, oh, that story you shared, Cherie, that is just so weak. I mean, I've got bigger sins in my life. Well, good luck to you trying to measure that when you get to heaven. But when I had the moment where I sent that text message, it was a weight that lifted off me. And there was something that shifted and changed on the inside of me as a result of my yieldedness to him. And sometimes our obedience and our yieldedness to him costs us pride. I thought you were a pastor. Yep. The Holy Spirit is a person you get to live with. He sees the good, the bad, the ugly, and he loves you anyway. And it's not judgment against you. It's judgment that Satan has been defeated. It is not in any way, form, or shape to minimize you, pull you down. It is to lift you up and help you to live a life in following Jesus. And friends, I don't know about you, but I'd give everything away as long as I've got him. I just want him. And it's crazy because I can have as much of him as I want of him, because he dwells within. Sometimes I just need to slow down and actually ask myself, am I aware of his presence?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.